sister, don't you? Well, little sister, don't you? Well, little sister, don't you kiss me once or twice? Say it's very nice and then you run. She's always running, Drake. Well, little sister, don't you do what your big sister done? I dated your big sister. I took her to a show. I went for some candy. Along came Jim Dandy and they snuck right out the door. There they go. Little sister, don't you? Little sister, don't you?
This is pretty good, pretty good. I got like a house band now. A house band.
A house
thank
band.
You very much, Rory. Al.
Okay, fellas, get out of here.
All right, Ben, thank you very much.
Well, you put the breakfast buffet on.
Phil Pitt and the Tijuana Orchestra there for us. That was awesome. Hey, Rory, you're at Casino Regatta Show Lounge. How many times have you performed, do you think, at the casino? You might be one of their most outstanding headliners.
Yes, it's been, well over 300.
300 shows.
There was one Christmas we did six nights in a row sold out. So
back tonight, too, for a summer show. What's the most requested Elvis song?
There's a couple. People want to hear Suspicious Minds a lot of times. And the American Trilogy. Big one of Elvis fans. And Suspicious Minds gets you down, gets you stretched up. You know, you gotta do the splits in that baby.
Well, how many jumpsuits do you have in your closet? Seriously.
10, I think.
Yeah.
8 or 10.
And do you get those made in Regina, or do you got to get...
No, they're actually made in Indiana by B&K is where we get ours. They actually bought the patterns from Bill Belew, who used to make Elvis's jumpsuits. So
they're authentic.
So if you saw the Elvis movie, the new one, that he wore the same suits that from B&K.
Yeah.
Supply those.
Did you like that Tom Hanks Elvis movie? Was the portrayal good for you?
It was. I wish they would have talked more about the Jordanaires too, and I would have liked it to be a little more positive.
Yeah.
You know, the good things, it seemed to be a little dark for me just because.
Well, you know what's remarkable is
it was well done.
That movie, and then there was one called Priscilla too, right?
Yeah.
Those movies, my youngest daughter, she's 15, infatuated.
Yeah.
With those movies and became an Elvis fan. A couple of Christmases ago, I had to buy Elvis posters for her room.
Well,
that's the endearing love of Elvis, I guess.
Well, right after that, right after the movie came out, we went to our Winnipeg show at the Club Regent Casino and 1,400 people. And I'd say 50 to 60% were university and below.
Just because of the movies.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Did COVID almost cost you your career as a tribute artist?
Pretty much, yeah. I got 4 years of almost. No income in the music business.
And still recovering from it,
still
too.
Recovering.
You said it is.
Yeah,
it's still a slow recovery.
A lot of the casinos that we did before have not, you know, gotten much entertainment. So we're, I know all the folks at SEGA, they want us back. So we're looking forward to coming back to those casinos because we got a lot of fans in the SAS community, North Battleford and PA.
Well, I hope it turns around for
Yorkton.
You.
Yeah.
I know there are a few tickets left at the casino tonight. Casino Regatta Show Lounge. I hope it's packed and sold out again for you. And I thank you for coming on because honestly, like I've known you for the 30 years you've been doing this from the very beginning. And I remember George Reed, the late great George Reed, you and I always integral part of what George was doing with the SASC, Special Olympics.
Special Olympics, yeah.
We'd show up together and you would wow the crowd there over the years. I remember I called upon you many, many years ago. My mom was a huge fan, bless her heart. She's long since passed. You came to her birthday party at a house and put the scarf around her neck. And she talked about that for many years after.
Wow.
You have impacted a lot of people, my friend. Over the years, and you've got a huge following, and I'm one of your fan club members. Thanks for coming.
Well, I appreciate it. I just want to give a shout out to my group too, though. There's
11
piece band, and they're local musicians that are deadly.
And that's why the show sounds so good too.
Oh, does it ever?
It's going to sound great tonight. Rory Allen, I thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Don Henley, he turned 78 yesterday. I believe I mentioned about this time yesterday how I was marveling at the age, and I might have jinxed something here too, because later in the day we lost Ozzy. But I was suggesting, hey, Henley, 78. Today, Guns N' Roses, Slash is 60. Mick Jagger's going to be 82 on the weekend. And I said, Geddy Lee of Rush, he's turning 72 next week. I was mentioning how all these greats are getting up there in age. And we're getting to the point of concern, right, with age. And then Ozzy passes at the age of 76. I don't know. That kind of freaked me out yesterday after I said that in the morning. But man, Ozzy Osbourne, I'm not a huge Sabbath fan, never was a massive Ozzy fan. I have appreciation for him. But just 2.5 weeks ago, able to perform one last time at the Back to the Beginning show in his hometown, which raised $190 million for Parkinson's.
I spent a long time preparing for this concert, afraid I wouldn't be able to finish it, afraid I'd let you down. To stay sharp, I stopped taking all painkillers. I chose pain over numbness, just so I could sing one last time with a clear voice. Music has always been my best painkiller. I didn't keep a dime from this show. Every dollar went to Parkinson's research to help others like me.
As I said, $190 million of it. Pretty cool. And Ozzy survived by his wife, Sharon, his daughter, Kelly, his son, Jack. They were all at his side, apparently, while when he passed. And there's some offspring you may not necessarily know about. There was a son, Louis John, an adopted son named Elliot, daughter named Jessica Starshine, all from his first marriage. And then there was Amy, daughter of Ozzy and Sharon, who opted not to be in the famous Osbourne's reality series of the early 2000s. But what a rock star. Everyone seemed to like Ozzy. Carrie Underwood. She once covered Mama, I'm Coming Home back in 23, a song he wrote about Sharon. Carrie said she loved Ozzy and was a fan as a teenager.
I do. I very much remember like being, you know, a teenager kind of discovering my own like musical tastes and my mom being very much against me listening to Ozzy. But I was also like, I feel like you need to listen to some of these lyrics because it's not all like darkness. And there's a lot of like love songs and things that are a lot more melodic and sweet. And we had asked, because anytime I'm going to cover somebody, I want their blessing. I would never want somebody to be like, man, I don't like her. So, and it's worse if you like sing the song and then somebody asks them about that and they're like, what was that? So I just want to be respectful. And we had asked permission, and Sharon was very, very sweet about it.
She's referred to the song Mama, I'm Coming Home. Yeah, a lot of people talking about the death of Ozzy Osbourne still this morning, who passed away surrounded by his family at the age of 76. He'd been suffering the effects of Parkinson's disease. And man, that final performance now from a couple weekends ago, it just has such a bigger impact now when you see it. And if Ozzy could have scripted his finale from this planet, he probably could not have done it as good as this all turned out. One final performance in his hometown with his old band, the support of family backstage, and then again as he passes with his family. What a career. And if you've been listening to The Green Zone as of late, our buddy Locker, Jamie Locker, is a big Ozzy fan and met him. So I wanted him to share a bit of his experience. Locker joins me now. Good morning, buddy. Welcome to the show.
Just quickly, just based on, that comment about that last performance on July 5th, which was in England, in, where Black Sabbath got together, there had been a long dispute between Ozzy and Bill Ward, the drummer, and he actually performed in that concert too. So I'm really, really glad that happened. And I mean, everybody kind of had an idea that Ozzy was, not doing well. There was pictures, TMZ kind of stuff occasionally. And, but I don't know, Greg, I thought it would be him, Keith, and the Cockroaches at the end.
I think Ozzy himself would have liked that for it to happen here, too. But how did you and Ozzy even cross paths?
So I got commissioned to do the world album premiere for the Black Sabbath release back in 2013. So they flew me down to Los Angeles, and I hung out with Geezer and Ozzy for an afternoon. Sharon was there too, and I interviewed the band, and then I came back to Canada, and I put together, you've heard those, back in the foreground days when we had to, on the FM stations, they wanted more, you know, talk and content like that. It was almost a requirement that you know, you almost had to have stuff like that. And so I built that, and a producer and I flew down to Los Angeles and hung out with him. And
was Sharon there too?
Yeah, it was. I got to be honest, it was kind of bizarre because I watched that Osborne show. I was on the green, so it was like a episode of the Osbournes. I mean, Ozzy was in court, and Sharon was, you know, interrupting him, and they would be bickering back and forth, and Geezer just sort of sat quietly in the corner and watched the whole madness go, you know, on in front of him. It was quite a bizarre afternoon.
I bet.
Ozzy wasn't wearing sweats and a, you know, and a t-shirt. He was, and trainers. He was fully dressed up as Prince of Darkness in the middle of a sunny afternoon in Los Angeles with the coat and the jeans and the glasses and the painted fingernails.
That's pretty cool. I was a fan of the Osbournes reality show. In your time, clearly, he and Sharon were, it was pretty accurate portrayal of them in that reality show, given what you're telling me. But if you're not a fan of Ozzy Osbourne at all, Locker's with me right now from the Green Zone, you would say what to someone who says, I don't really care, Ozzy passed. But why should we care about Ozzy's passing? What did he mean?
Well, if anybody likes rock music at all, and you've spent any time listening to rock music, you've listened to Ozzy's influence on the bands that you love. I don't think you'd be hard pressed to go to find a band in the rock world that wasn't on some level inspired or influenced by Ozzy. And the interesting thing about Ozzy, because everyone knows him as this sort of iconic front man for Black Sabbath, and then he went on and had an even more successful solo career when Black Sabbath couldn't get along in the late 70s. And the thing about Ozzy that's interesting is that he was quite a musician and would sit down and he would build a lot of the structure of the songs for Black Sabbath. Geezer did a lot of the writing, did a lot of the lyrics for the band. I think actually most of them. And Ozzy was the guy that kind of, he was the architect between, you know, between Geezer's lyrics and the music of Sabbath. So that sound of Black Sabbath is eked its way through the entire music business as far as rock goes. I mean, if you're a grunge fan, that entire scene in Seattle was influenced by Black Sabbath.
Locker, I'm all out of time, but I'm glad you said it as you did there, because really, you want to see the influence of Ozzy. You tried to allude to it all there nicely, but also just look at the tributes from Paul McCartney. He idolized the Beatles, Ozzy. Paul McCartney is paying tribute. Dave Matthews, I saw. Gene Simmons of Kiss. Donny Osmond, who was in a Pepsi commercial with him many years ago in the early 2000s, paying tribute to Ozzy Osbourne. A big influence indeed. Yeah,
he was quite a character, Greg.
Locker, thank you so much. We'll catch you on the Green Zone this half with Jamie, all right? Yeah, still a little smoky out there. And hoping that the next day or two here, we're going to start to see the air quality improve a little bit. But hey, by the way, check your lottery ticket. If you got a Lotto Max, someone won $100,000 on the extra last night from here in Saskatchewan, too. Over at City Hall today, the discussion again about the new asking price for the upcoming indoor aquatic facility. It's ballooned now up to around $285 million. Original proposal back in the day, $161 million. Executive committee is meeting today. That's where they're going to discuss how to proceed, maybe even consider scaling back on the project. I can't see them ever canceling it, obviously, because there's so much money already in place there from the province of the feds, but it's going to be a topic. And normally the mayor, who's here every Thursday on my show, he's on vacation this week, so I cannot bring the mayor on tomorrow, but certainly next week we'll dive into it with him. Hey, everyone needs a vacation. Yesterday, the Riders, they were back prepared for the Elks. It was pretty much a walkthrough because they had to go indoors because of air quality. But Coach May's confirming to us what we feared. It doesn't look promising for the return of running back Kadeem Carey. So, Coach, a little disappointed.
He was able to come in during the meeting and all the guys able to show him love, man. So, you know, we'll wait to hear. But if I'm a betting man, which I am not, I would just say it would be pretty tough for Kadeem to play this year.
They got running back Mario Anderson signed to bringing him back from where he was in preseason on the heels of that injury. TSN's Milt Stegall was on the Green Zone yesterday, and he thinks Edmonton better come to town starting Cody Fajardo.
You got to go to Cody. You're not bailing on Trey. You're just saying you're not getting it done right now. You may still be our future, but you're not getting it done. And I think the one thing where they messed up with the Elks, they didn't make it a competition. And I know you wanted to let everyone know that this is our guy, because that's what everyone's been screaming for. Give this guy an opportunity to be the man, and he'll show you. But I think that's the worst thing you can do for somebody who hasn't won much in this league, telling them that they're the guy, especially when you got a guy coming in who has been the guy, who has won a Grey Cup, who was a Grey Cup MVP. You're not allowing them to compete. Now they want to compete. So we'll see what happens. But if I was a betting man, if I had to liquidate everything I had and put it on who was going to start, I would say Cody Fajardo was going to start this game.
I sure hope that's true. Milt Stegall from TSN on the Green Zone yesterday. And, of course, kickoff Friday night, 7 o'clock. They should call him the reindeer coming in. It's Christmas in July. That's the theme the Riders are using. Yes, the big guy, he's not in the North Pole. He's somewhere maybe in the Bahamas vacationing. But apparently he's going to be wearing sandals and making the rounds Friday night. Christmas in July. This ought to be interesting with the Riders doing what they can to drum up fan support. And it's looking like it's working right now. Last I checked, there's got to be a good 25,000 tickets gone. So let's pack the park. 7 o'clock kickoff.